Kathleen Pearl, Sacrifice of Fire, Part 2. Welcome to you. Let's look at Luke 12:49, in which Jesus said, "I came to send fire on the earth." What? What does that mean? That means he's coming to purge his threshing floor. "I came to send," and the threshing floor is the earth, "fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished." So here's an allusion to a baptism of fire that Jesus is going to go through first. Why? Because in the offering, the fire offering for atonement, the priest laid hands on the animal to transfer the sins, and those sins had to be separated out and purged with fire, consumed. This is what we learned in Part 1. "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, 5 in one house will be divided against, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3. Father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Here, and the Lord reiterates this in Matthew and also in John, when he was in the synagogue, and a young man came and said, "Hey, your mother and your brothers and sisters are out here, and they want to speak to you." And Jesus said, "Who are my mother and brothers and sisters?" And he points to his disciples and he says, "Those who do the will of my Father in heaven, these are my mother and brothers and sisters." Not these over here, right, who are divided and against you. The flesh will is at enmity with the spirit, it says in James. The worldly person, the carnal person, these are enemies of yours. There are against the Spirit of God that works in us to will and do His good pleasure. Let's look at John 15:5, in which Yeshua, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." This talks about our spiritual, our abiding of our spiritual life in Jesus Christ, that His Holy Spirit is the sap, it's the life. It's the life flow that goes through us. And if we are cut off and withered, we will be thrown into fire and burned. We will have unquenchable fire. We have to abide in Him, and my words abide in you, He says. And you will ask what it will desire, and it shall be done for you. Why? Because your desires will be abiding in Christ, and they will be according to His will. That's why. "But my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." All right, let's look at the baptism of fire, Acts 2:3. "Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." In other words, they were divinely energized and filled and speaking with the fire of holiness. Revelation 1:3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Ah, the precious Holy Spirit. Revelation 2:8. "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. this Jesus, this one who purges us, who divides our work, who judges them out, who separates the wheat from the chaff. Revelation 3:18, and I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, faith with love, rich in faith, rich with love, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see, that you may perceive, and your ears that you may hear, and your heart that you may understand. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be jealous, zealous, and repent. I want to ask you something. Think on this. If in the temple, the priest had to offer atonement before they could go for their sins, before they could even go in and serve the Lord, they had to be anointed with the blood, and they had to be consecrated with the oil, and their clothes had to be clean. They couldn't just walk in their street clothes and start ministering to God. They would die because they are filthy. It's the type, your garments, your worldly ways of doing things and operating in the world, they're defiled in the presence of God's holiness. They're corrupt. You have to put on the garments of the order, the white garments. That's the works that God has ordained for you to do. You have to have this gold, this glory that's been refined and purged. It's an offering of righteousness, his righteousness, not your own, not whatever offering you decide on, whatever you want to offer. It's according to his requirements for you. And you must have anointed eye salve. You have to perceive and see, have insight and discernment onto what the Lord is saying and doing, not on a shallow, carnal, soulish level, but by the Spirit of God, anointed by the Spirit of God through revelation. And he says, and he loves those who do this. He loves you, and he rebukes you. He's rebuking them. You're not doing it the way he wants. So be zealous and repent. So is there a one-time repentance? No. This is a consistent attitude of repentance and turning to God to be healed, of repentance and turning to God to be healed, of acknowledging in the light of his word and his standard of where we fall short, so that he might impart his righteousness to us by the fire of his holy, 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 that's righteous, altogether Holy Spirit. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's asking us, if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. We'll have fellowship. You'll be abiding with him. This is how you abide in him, through the door of repentance and his blood. And to ask him to humble yourself before him, to look, to be zealous and turn from your ways and turn to his ways. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Luke 17:26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Noah was preaching for 120 years the righteousness that his grandfather Enoch taught him. Enoch walked with God, and he pleased God, and he was no more. He's taken up. And Enoch instructed Noah in righteousness. He was a teacher of righteousness. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Likewise, it will also be as in the days of Lot. That was during Sodom and Gomorrah. There was no justice in the city. There was no upholding the law. Everything went. There was sexual immorality. They defiled angels. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. What will it be? In the days when the day, singular, when the Son of Man is revealed, when he returns to the earth, what will it be like at the return of the Lord? It's going to be like in the days of Noah, where violence covered the earth and God repented that he made man, where angels left their first estate, where they were eating and drinking, giving marriage, where no one was listening to the preachers of righteousness. In the days of Lot, there'll be, you know, defilement with strange flesh and heathenism, as in Sodom. And then what's going to happen? It will rain fire and brimstone from heaven. And the wicked will be destroyed. The wicked will be destroyed. And Lot was, the angels took him out of there. Look what Nahum says in Nahum 1:5 about Israel. About the Lord in the day of trouble. The mountains quake at him and the hills melt and the earth is burned at his presence. Hey, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those that trust in him. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. But not the righteous. The righteous shall be delivered. All who call upon him, his name, even in Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, in that day will be saved in the day of the Lord. In the day of the Lord. In that day.